Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, the one and only Stephen A. Smith, coming at you over the digital airwaves of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. I shouldn't say digital, but the airwaves of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. Number to call up, as always, is 866-967-6887. That's 866-967-6887, 866-96-POTUS, to simplify it. We've got a jam-packed show coming your way today, tonight, rather. There is an election that took place last night, specifically and particularly in the state of New Jersey, in the state of Virginia for the gubernatorial seats, and of course in New York for the mayor's seat. And I'll get into that in just a second. We're letting you know that today on this show, we will have the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, the one and only Jim Jordan, coming on with us, along with Speaker of the House, Mr. Mike Johnson. Both of them will be on the show tonight. Obviously, there's a lot to get into. Day 36 of the shutdown. The government has been shut down. Federal employees escalating above a million, haven't been receiving paychecks, 330,000 plus in the nation's capital and its surrounding areas have not been receiving a check. Obviously, I am not happy about that at all. The longest government shutdown in history, surpassing the 35 days in 2018 into 2019, which was during President Donald Trump's first term in office. It is not a good day. It is not a good time. And I'm here to tell you something right now. I'm not going to act like today is a good time. Now, last week on the show, and I had Andrew Cuomo, who was a mayoral candidate in New York City, the former three-term governor in New York State, come on the show for a lengthy period of time. In the immediate aftermath of that, Zohran Mamdani, the favorite to win that election since he had captured the Democratic nomination in the primaries. We expected him to be the favorite, and turns out he won. He had called into the show last week with about 8 minutes left in the show, so I didn't have nearly as much time to get into some of the things he has said, some of the policies he has promoted pushing forth. But nevertheless, he obviously is a very charismatic candidate, highly intelligent, very articulate. You know, you listen to all the ladies out there, not difficult on the eyes, because women 30 and under, they said he got a, like 84% of their votes, okay? Nothing Andrew Cuomo could do about that at age 67, to be quite honest with you. But nevertheless, one would not insult the voters out there by implying that that's all it took for Zohran Mamdani to gain their support. I'm going to tell you why I'm not happy about it. I like Mamdani. I'm looking forward to interviewing him. He's promised to be on this show. But I'm very, very concerned about some of the things that he said. I'm very concerned about what he once said about defunding the police. I'm calling 911. I'm being real with you. I'm calling 911. That's what I'm doing. I don't want to see less police officers. I want to see more police officers. I heard him talk about mental health experts in the subway system. I don't care about that. I want cops in the subways in New York City, where I was born and raised. Born in the Bronx, raised in Queens. That's what I want. I want to hear about no damn mental health experts in subways. Nah, I'm not trying to hear that, okay? 2% tax on the rich. Okay, fine. 11.5% capital gains tax on its face. Okay, fine. Free buses. Free grocery stores in each borough? Really? Really think that's going to work? Ladies and gentlemen, we're at a crossroads in this nation. And there's no way to slice it. And the level of vitriol that you see amongst the American citizen is because, God forbid, that you have a difference of opinion. It's not enough to agree. You know, people have to be disagreeable. And you have to be selfish if you're a person that's rich, that's making money, and you don't want to pay your fair share of taxes. Well, when you think about the billionaires in the state, in the city of New York, they make up about 48% in terms of the amount of taxes that they dole out compared to the average American, compared to the rest of New Yorkers. And if you're talking about raising their taxes while doing these other things, You're making New Yorkers, you're making New York unattractive, not just for residents, but for businesses. And if you make it unattractive for businesses and you don't, and you compromise the ability to be the capitalist that these people are, then they take their businesses elsewhere. So the money that they paid on their homes or in rent, they move out of the city or the state. Businesses follow. And ultimately the tax burden falls on to New Yorkers out there, which means that rent freezes, which is also something that Mamdani pushed. Is that really going to be plausible? Are you really going to be able to freeze rent? Or are you going to end up hiking it because you don't have enough people here to pay it? Tax revenue, where are you getting that from? See, these are all the kind of things that we have to connect the dots and ask ourselves. 1 + 1, does it equal 2? Is it really plausible that these things are going to happen? According to Mayor Hochul, 90% of the stuff Mamdani said he can't do on his own. He got to come through her in the state legislature in order to get it done. Is he going to be able to do that? What level of support is he going to have outside of young whippersnappers out there who love him and are so in love with his personality and everything else that they didn't really, really dot the I's and cross the T's and look at actual policies and the kind of effect that's going to have on New Yorkers? That's what I'm worried about. I hope I'm wrong. Because talking to him, I liked him. I'm looking forward to sitting down and interviewing with him. I just want to know where the money coming from. See, I count. Okay, I count. And I can't tell you how many young teenagers, it could be daughters, it could be nieces and nephews, it could be friends and family members or relatives of folks along that age gap. And you're asking the same question. And you know what you come up with? The people who love Mamdani the most are not people who pay bills every day. I'm not saying that applies to everybody. I'm not applying that. But they certainly not people that pay bills every day all the time. You don't see business owners clamoring to support them. I'm just saying these things are important to bring up. Because there's going to be a divide that takes place. Remember, Mamdani's ascension and his win in the mayoral election in New York last night is entirely different from what supposedly transpired in New Jersey with Mikey Sherrill beating Cinderella for the gubernatorial seat, and of course in Virginia, where this lady Sears ultimately lost to Abigail Spanberger. By the way, I think Spanberger and Sherrill were roommates at one time or another. Winsome Earl Sears, she lost by convincingly, to say the least. But the reason I bring that up is because their campaign was a bit different than Zohra Mamdani. They were talking about affordability issues just like he was. But they were also a bit more pragmatic in their thinking. They weren't talking about free grocery stores and free bus rides. They weren't talking about those things. They were talking about centrist kind of policies that would ingratiate themselves with the vast majority of American citizens in their respective states, because guess what? They recognize that's where the meat of the electorate lives. Not on the fringes with extreme progressivism. Not on the fringes with the MAGA right. 85% of the population lives there. That's where I live. That's why I'm on POTUS. That's where we live. We ain't veering one way or the other to the extreme, because we understand, excuse me, it is about affordability. But it's also about the economy. It's also about safety in the streets. And when you're talking about the combination of a free bus rides or free grocery stores, and oh, by the way, less police, or at least not more police officers, and not prioritizing law enforcement in the streets of a city, of a state, of the United States of America, you got a problem. You got a problem. And so now we got to sit up here and we got to ask ourselves, where are we going from here? Where are you going to find yourself? What you going to do? Because we got a shutdown going on. And folks are going to get volatile. These government officials don't get their act together. People ain't receiving a paycheck. How long you think that's going to last before disorder reigns? You can't do this to American people. You can't do it. Now I know that we've seen politicians say all of these things and address some of these things, but I ain't satisfied the fervor with which it's been addressed, because the shutdown is still going on. And needless to say, the president chimed in, because a lot of people chimed in And the president was one of those people. And he wanted to make sure that he had something to say about what he believes should be done. But I'm going to tell you, before I go to him, here's what I want to tell you. No matter what they deny, this election was as much about Trump as it was about anybody. Because I don't believe that folks went to the polls because of Sherelle or Spanberger or even Mamdani. I think they went to the polls because they wanted to send a message that they are against Donald Trump. Because as I've repeatedly said, you don't like the way he acts. There's Trump's tweet right there. Trump wasn't on the ballot. This is Donald Trump on his Truth Social account. Trump wasn't on the ballot, and the shutdown were the two reasons that Republicans lost elections tonight. Once again, it's about him. You ain't going to be on the ballot in 2026, the midterms. You ain't supposed to be circumventing the 22nd Amendment and running for a third term being on a ballot in 2028. You're supposed to be gone. Your last election was supposed to be in 2024. Which means whether it's J.D. Vance, whether it's Marco Rubio, whether it's Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, or somebody else, it's going to be somebody other than Donald Trump. What you going to do, GOP? Because when Trump is engaging in terror force, when he's got ICE literally grabbing people off the streets and throwing them to the ground, and they happen to be American citizens, and they all ain't illegals, and one mistake after another is being made, and human rights, civil rights, are being violated in pursuit, supposedly, of those who are criminals and are here illegally, yet too many people who are legal, who do have a visa, who are here righteously, are being harassed and bothered, et cetera, et cetera. And it's going on in the streets of Los Angeles, of Oregon, of Chicago, of D.C., of whatever. Why? How long do you think that's going to last? I'm talking about the optics. I don't have the numbers right now in front of me. They're going to change anyway. I'm talking about the optics, how it looks. That's not America. And when something like that happens, people are going to respond. But before they get to respond about that, in their own roundabout way, they did it through the election. And because they did it through the election, a whole bunch of people had a lot to say. Let's show Marjorie Taylor Greene, who showed up on The View on ABC earlier, and listen to what she had to say about the shutdown and the GOP's role in the shutdown. Take a listen.
The worst thing that I just can't get over is we're not working right now. And I put that criticism directly on the Speaker of the House. And we should be at work. All the people sitting in this audience, they go to work every day. People at home watching this show, they go to work every day. Ladies, you go to work every day. The people on your set. And it is an embarrassment to me that we're not in session.
That was Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's talking about the shutdown and that not being in session. The reason why I bring that up is because Governor Glenn Youngkin from Virginia, who's about to be succeeded by Spanberger, blamed Republicans' widespread election losses in the state on a recent government shutdown. Quote, I firmly believe the government shutdown was a very, very big challenge as we ran into this election. We have 330,000 government workers here that weren't getting paid. That is a real challenge heading into an election. That is what Governor Youngkin from Virginia had to say about what transpired. That's what he had to say. Zohran Mamdani had his own words to say, especially pertaining to calling out Donald Trump. Listen to what Zohran Mamdani, the mayor-elect of New York City, had to say about the president last night.
So Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have four words for you. Turn the volume up. We will hold bad landlords to account because the Donald Trumps of our city have grown far too comfortable taking advantage of their tenants. We will put an end to the culture of corruption that has allowed billionaires like Trump to evade taxation and exploit tax breaks. We will stand alongside unions and expand labor protections because we know, just as Donald Trump does, that when working people have ironclad rights, the bosses who seek to extort them become very small indeed.
That's Zohra Mamdani, the mayor-elect of New York City, calling out the president of the United States, basically telling them to bring it on, daring them to do so. If we know anything about the president, he'll probably try and take him up on his offer. So pay attention to what we have going on right now. We have that going on. You heard what Mamdani said. You heard Marjorie Taylor Greene blaming the GOP. You know Trump's going to respond. You got Spanberger and Sherelle being centrist, not as outspoken as Zohra Mamdani was at that particular moment. And then you have this tweet on X, I believe, put out by Speaker Mike Johnson just hours ago. Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. According to Speaker Mike Johnson, Democrats in New York City have chosen a true extremist and Marxist, and the consequences will be felt across our entire nation. Zohra Mamdani's election cements the Democratic Party's transformation to a radical, big government socialist party. House Democrats endorsed Mamdani's dangerous policies, including defunding the police, seizing private property, and massive tax increases. Now every House Democrat incumbent and candidate will co-own Mamdani's disastrous record in the 2026 midterms. Meanwhile, Republicans are fighting alongside President Trump to lower costs, make streets safer, secure our border, and deliver peace through strength. With exactly 1 year to go until the 2026 elections, the contrast between our parties has never been more clear. Mayor-elect Mamdani's extreme agenda is the future of the Democratic Party, but we will never allow it to be the future of America. That's another twist. I didn't even bring you the third one. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. Prop 50 resolution pushed through. If you recall, that's Governor Newsom's measure to create more Democratic congressional seats, countering a similar redistricting effort pushed by President Trump in other states to protect Republican control of the House next year, especially Texas. When Texas did what it did, positioning itself to get five additional seats in the U.S. House of Representatives, Newsom turned around. Unlike Texas, he had to go through the voters to pull that off. The voters co-signed with him. Now you're talking about potentially nine additional seats in the U.S. House of Representatives for the state of California. Where does that put Newsom in all of this? I'm here to tell you front and center that right now, as we speak, Governor Gavin Newsom looks like he's on the verge of being the Democratic nominee for the presidency of the United States of America in 2028. And you know what the GOP is saying? Pretty please with sugar on top, let it be you. Because of California's record on a multitude of things. Needless to say, Governor Newsom has been invited on this show on numerous occasions. I love how these folks hesitate to show up, but I see them elsewhere. Not one to answer questions. It don't stop this train. I got a lot of stuff to say about the state of California. And not just tonight. But I got other fish to fry for the moment. Mainly Speaker Johnson, Representative Jim Jordan, both up next at some point in this show. Right here with Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Oh, I'm fully loaded. I got a lot more to say. Don't go away.